Chapter 17. The larger rocky formations dotting the landscape were far more distant than it had seemed when Charlie and Rika set out on foot to get a better look at what appeared to be the nearest one. The nearest turned out to be almost 2 miles away, and the others were easily several times that distance. "You okay?" he asked, offering a water container to his companion.
"I'm good," Rika replied.
"You should hydrate. It's getting warmer. We need to conserve our water. What we need is for us to not pass out from dehydration. The others are resting. We're exerting ourselves. Besides, if we find more plastic sheeting, I can put together a few more solar stills when we get back." Reluctantly, she took the container.
"Atta girl."
They walked in silence for a while, saving their energy as much as they were deep in thought. There were mountains far off in the distance. From the look of them, at least what they could see from so far away, they spanned across the entire horizon 360 degrees. It looked as if they almost curved all the way around them. Of course, it would have been easy to survey the area from space and map the exact terrain, but they had crashed blind. All they knew of the terrain was what was in front of them.
"Charlie, does that look like something moving?" Rika asked, pointing to an area 50 meters from the rapidly nearing pile of rocks.
It did kind of look like something was moving, blowing in the wind.
"Debris, maybe?
You think?
Something light could have blown this far when it was windy.
We'll find out soon enough." Soon enough turned out to be nearly 15 minutes of slow walking, the sled dragging behind them with the soft sound of soil grinding along its bottom.
"Holy shit, that's a plant," Charlie exclaimed as they grew closer.
They picked up their pace, rushing to the discovery. A small cluster of thin, tan shoots were jutting up from the ground, waving in the gentle breeze.
"Vegetation, Charlie. You know what this means? There's got to be water close by."
"That, or they live off the sparse moisture the way we've been doing." Rika knelt in the dirt.
"Give me something to dig with."
He handed her the knife they'd salvaged from Jamal's locker.
"Thanks," she said, carefully removing soil from the plant, digging deeper and deeper as she explored, searching for water.
What she found was not what she expected, but something that had the potential to drastically alter their odds of survival just the same.
"Is that a potato?" Charlie asked as she pulled a small tuber from the ground.
"It looks sort of like one, doesn't it?" She brushed the dirt free and sniffed the beige lump.
"You think it's safe?"
"No idea," Charlie replied. "Here, let me try something." He took the potato-looking plant and wiped an area clean, then made a small cut in it. A milky sap began to form at the site of the incision, which he dripped on a clean spot of his exposed forearm.
"What are you doing?"
"Testing to see if it's poison or not."
"By rubbing it on yourself?"
"It's like the old allergy tests. The inner arm is a very sensitive area, so if there's going to be any reaction, that's the most likely place a test would show it." Rika stared at his arm expectantly.
"So, how long exactly until we know if it's going to make your arm fall off?"
"I can't say for sure, but 20 minutes should suffice, I'd think."
"Okay, let's start the clock."
She took the tuber back from him and studied it, turning it over and over in her hands.
"It looks so normal, so Earth-like.
And yet, here we are, Lord knows how far from home. And the first ever proof of alien life is a potato." She fixed it with a fierce gaze.
"Take me to your leader," she demanded of the tuber.
Charlie burst out laughing, and Rika, too, soon found herself caught up in his mirthful delight.
"Oh, man, thanks for that," he said a minute later, wiping his tearing eyes. "I really needed a good laugh."
He held up the plant by its stalk.
"I am Charlie Gault, man of Earth. If you're not toxic and good eating, how about taking us to meet your friends, if not your leader? Hello? Anyone?"
"You're ridiculous, Charlie."
"My most endearing trait, and it takes one to know one," he said, his spirits restored.
"Well, since we have to wait a bit to see if my arm falls off, let's keep looking. This little guy is a super positive sign. Now let's just hope there's more vegetation growing around here, and who knows, maybe we'll even get lucky and find some water.
Let's leave the sled here, canteens only. We'll be coming this way on the way back, and there's no sense dragging that extra weight along. The rocks are only about a quarter mile away."
"Sounds like a plan," Charlie said, dropping the straps to the sled on the ground. Come on, then. Let's go see if this walk will bear any more pleasant surprises. They covered the potato thing and left it on the sled, then set a course for the jumble of rocks nearby. As they approached, they found the ground was much more uneven than the rest of the area. I'm glad we left the sled, Charlie said. Dragging it across this would have sucked. It's weird, isn't it? This doesn't look like normal geologic activity to me. What do you think? You're right. It feels odd. Like things were picked up and smashed into the ground, then yanked up again. But that's impossible. Look at the size of some of these stones. Rika ran her hand over the first one they came to. I don't know. Feel this. It's so smooth. Geometric. How could it be natural? I don't know, but no one would build in a wasteland like this, he said, gesturing at the stones, most of them buried in sand and debris. Maybe, but couldn't it have been a long time ago? A flashing light caught his eye in the distance, a shimmer. It's gotta be a mirage, he reasoned. Charlie? Earth to Charlie. Rika followed his gaze. Water, she shouted, bolting for the apparition. Rika, wait, it's probably just the heat waves making it look like... She dove to the ground, splashing the water over her face. Or maybe it actually is water, he said, hustling over to join her. There was an odd shimmer to the water, something more than just the dual sun's reflections. Don't drink any until I test it. We don't know if it's safe. Rika smiled, rivulets running down her hair, the dust washed from her face. Huh. Must have been mostly the red dust, Charlie mused, noting her healthy skin. Looked like she was pretty sunburned earlier. He turned his attention to the small pool. It was perhaps 3 feet across and only a few inches deep. How it hadn't merely evaporated in the arid environment was a mystery. I wonder. Charlie took the medical scanner from the small pouch on his hip. In their haste to depart after burying Jamal, he had forgotten to leave it behind at their camp. That oversight might now bear unexpected fruit. What are you doing, Charlie? Rika asked as she dipped her compact materials analyzer into the pool. I'm changing the settings to treat the soil as flesh and this water as blood. Can you even do that? Well, not really, but sort of. I just have an idea, but I need something that can see through the ground to do it. We don't have any geological survey equipment, so I'm making do with what we've got. A green light sprang to life on Rika's analyzer, and the display churned out a stream of information. It's water, and aside from a somewhat high mineral content, it's perfectly safe. With great relish, she leaned down and took a big gulp from the pool. Oh my God, that's what I'm talking about. So nothing unusual? No, why? Charlie looked again at the odd shimmer to the water. Nothing, never mind. Rika filled their containers until the pool was nearly entirely empty. Shame, we could have used more than this, but it'll have to suffice, she said, swirling the filled containers. While she carefully collected as much as their vessels would carry, Charlie had been fine-tuning the med scanner. The readings were all over the place, as if the machine was intentionally keeping him from dialing in to the settings he desired. But Charlie was persistent. A brief flicker lit a screen, then vanished. Gotcha. He knew he was close, and with a few minute adjustments, he found himself with an incredibly faint but tangible reading. What have you got, Charlie? Rika asked. Your skin really does look better, he noted. I think this is dialed in, he replied, bending over and sticking his left hand in the remains of the pool water. A faint tingle could be felt. Then it was gone as fast as it had come. He took his hand out and looked at it compared to his other. The sunburn is gone. It wasn't just the dirt washing off. This water made the burn fade almost immediately. You okay, Charlie? Yeah, he said, more than a little distracted. The implications were staggering. I finally got this working, I think. So what does it do exactly? It's like a high-tech dowsing rod, only this one is set to penetrate the soil to seek out water as if it were flowing through a vein. The pool was still nearly empty. Based on his readings, it would take weeks, if not months, for it to slowly fill again. What are you saying, Charlie? I'm saying there's a teeny, tiny leaching flow of water deep under the surface. You'd never find it if you didn't know where to look. But thanks to blind luck, we did. And there's more water somewhere around here, Rika. And this baby's going to take us to it.